everyone. Welcome to the Debrief Podcast. How are you doing, Tessa?
Oh, very well, thank you. Well, she's dead into a microphone, so I thought you meant the listeners.
No, it was like half the listeners, and then I thought, well, they've answered, so now I want to hear about you. Tessa's about to start eating a brownie.
Stevie's already eaten hers, I'd like everyone to
know. I ate it in 20 seconds flat. It was a pistachio brownie. Tessa, what's the most adult thing you've done this week? You haven't thought of one, have you?
I certainly have. Oh, I actually thought you're going to think, that's not one.
Go on.
I put a newt back in a pond.
Yeah, that's adult for Enid Blyton.
Yeah.
But go on.
I found a newt.
Where?
Beside the pond.
Where's the pond?
Grandma's. We were getting the lilies out of the pond. The story doesn't cast me in a good light. In amongst there was a newt.
Aww.
And he was looking real sad. So I just scooped him up. Put him back in the pond.
Yeah, it's not really an adult thing, is it?
No.
No, it's more of like it's a kind, caring human thing.
Yep.
Which is nice.
Yes, I had a day from a storybook, is what I'm trying
That's
to tell
lovely.
You.
That's lovely. Oh no, I did an adult thing. I did an adult thing. It did actually require a lot of cajoling and forcing from, in fact, Tessa.
Hello.
We were supposed to be doing some work and we put up the price of some work.
Yes, we did.
Which is really great because we got it wrong and it was too little amount of money.
And a man said, this is the price it should be.
Yeah, and I started sweating.
And then we were like, well, we won't cause a bother. Yeah. Well, you just pay us less.
I'll do it for £2.
And you pay that man that. Yeah. And we'll just take top.
I'll do less. And actually we were going to be paid like less than everyone else doing the job. And then after a lot of WhatsApp conversations in capital letters and me just walking around just panic eating hummus with my hands, we did it. I did it.
She did it.
I did it. And now we're being paid as much as all the men.
The thing about asking for money, and it is, my God, it's the worst, because you just want to be like, nothing, please, I'll pay you to be involved.
I'm worth nothing.
I'm worth nothing. And then you just got to be like, look him dead in the eye.
Dear man.
This is my price. And if you don't want me, no bother.
Because I've got a lot to be getting on with.
This hummus not going to eat itself, is
it? Yeah, I'm halfway through it.
People just name their price all the time.
Most people are terrified of asking for more money because they think they'll go, well, that's ridiculous. But actually, it never is. Always ask.
Mm.
And then if they go, no, go, I'll be flexible.
Our landlord just had a roofer round because our drains collapsed. And then I found out how much the roofer costs to just come out and look at the roof.
£60,000.
So much money. Everyone just pays that because everyone shrugs and is like, well, I guess that's what a roofer costs. No one's got any idea what a roofer costs. So no. Girls, be the roofer.
Okay.
Not a roofer.
Oh, right.
You're a roofer.
Charge anything. This week's podcast is about something very close to my heart and maybe Tessa's, but she's got a lot of confidence, so I don't know. It's imposter syndrome. And imposter syndrome is basically when you consistently feel like you're about to get found out. When you feel like...
Who's that? What is she doing? Who's she getting here?
I told you, Tessa, I have no idea what it is.
What's that? What's she doing over here? How did this girl get into the job?
That's your own brain saying it to you. And you spend the whole time being like, oh, I hope no one asks me a question that I don't know the answer to because I'm an idiot and they'll all know I'm an idiot. And you spend the whole time thinking that everyone else is there because of their merit. Imposter syndrome is just all in your head.
And maybe some of you are being like, what are they talking about?
Sure.
Which is perfectly reasonable. But I bet that you have done it, or if you've heard your friends do it, somebody comes home, they're like, oh, I just got a new job. And you say like, oh, amazing. And then they say, yeah, I mean, I'm only there until they work out I'm no good. I once told people I won a competition due to a clerical error, but I didn't. I won it.
You literally won the competition.
I won a competition, yeah.
What was the competition?
It was for Ideas Tap. You remember the late, great Ideas Tap?
That.
And I got sent to a film festival. And I mean, I still think it is possible the clerical error thing is correct.
No.
There was certainly a grey area.
This is imposter syndrome in action, guys.
It's not. I'm pretty
it's
sure
happening.
There was a clerical error. But you do it all the time. You undermine stuff and you say like...
I was in the right place at the right time.
You take any compliment instead of saying, thank you, I'm very highly qualified and I work very hard for this job. You say, oh no, it's just, you know, they needed a woman with the letter beginning with the T.
Or you give yourself less tenuous excuses. Like, I was like the first candidate that they interviewed and they probably just took me because they really desperately needed someone.
Or no one else applied.
Yeah, no one else applied. Everyone else was mad and from, I don't know, the moon.
Or I'll probably get fired straight away.
Yeah, exactly.
Really? And stop that.
And you need to stop. And I've done quite a few features recently, like careers-based features for various magazines, and then interviewing women that you go, wow, teach me your ways. And they all feel like that. They all have had to battle feeling like they shouldn't be where they are, even when they're like directing first dates on Channel 4. They're like, what? I can't do it. And they're like, no, you've worked your way up. You've done incredibly well.
So many people are like, oh, hello, I'm a creative consultant. And then you're like, sorry, what's that then?
And it turns out they've done it twice.
It means nothing.
And you're like, but you're clever. Like,
yeah.
You know? Whereas I was helping my sister do her CV and Gina was like, oh, I've not done anything. And I was looking at her CV and it's like, you've done so much. But her CV was basically an exercise in just sort of passing over all the stuff she'd done. She's like, yeah, I did a bit of this. No, make that subheading.
I did a bit of this, I guess.
You did that for that company. Make that a big deal. Why are you casually dropping in that you did social media for that huge clothing company that I won't mention that rhymes with Bop Shop? You know?
Is it H&M?
Very good. Very good joke.
Very good joke.
Very good joke. So to find out a little bit more about imposter syndrome, I spoke to Sharu Izadi, who is a faculty member at the School of Life, which is, I think, a life aim for me
personally. That's fantastic. Fantastic job.
It's such a great place as well. And she had this to say about imposter syndrome.
So what is imposter syndrome? It's when, despite our accomplishments, we worry that we'll be found out as actually being a fraud. And we think that the good things that we've achieved are a fluke or that we've got lucky, as opposed to acknowledging that we deserve them and we've earned them. You asked whether women experience it more than men, and if so, why? I think high-achieving women are more likely to experience imposter syndrome than their male counterparts. Countless pieces of research on things like asking for pay rises tells us that women do undervalue themselves. Personally, I don't think that social media helps. I think we've totally normalized this idea of putting up a picture of our lives that's far removed from the reality. Whether it's that we've used a flattering filter on a photo or we've shown a holiday to be more exciting than it is, we're becoming more and more dependent on validation from others to tell us how we're doing. Retweets and likes are what we turn to feed our self-esteem. And if that like is on a photo that you know isn't showing the reality of things, then you can start to feel like you're a fraud.
Social bloody media. It's just always, it's always the root problem of everything, I think.
Everything.
And I think with confidence, you can't ignore it. If imposter syndrome is just about confidence, which it tends to be, and also it's interesting that it tends to be high-achieving women. So I know a lot of people that put pictures up when they're having a really awful day, they feel like crap. Mm. They put a picture up from their holiday and you're like, cool, that's really great, but that's not what your life is. So that must make you feel maybe a bit like an imposter because you are literally impostering in your own life.
Plus, look how many times that either written underneath in the comments or IRL, that's in real life, right?
Yeah.
Thank God. I'm new to the...
OBG.
What's that?
In real life.
Don't joke with me because it takes me so long. You see it underneath the comments so many times, or to actual friends, if you say like, babe, you look amazing. And then the babe has replied saying, thanks, Han. Oh, it's not me, it's the filter, you know?
Yeah.
Or like,
No, actually, that was from the other day because today I look like a troll in a bin.
Yeah.
Wow,
just really flattering glasses. It's not me.
Yeah.
You know, we just take all the compliments and we pass them away.
Yeah.
We say, they're not for me.
And then you look at everyone else and be like, yeah, but they actually look like that. I'm the only one who doesn't look
exactly.
like that.
I'm the only one.
But Sheila, I mean, Sheila's on a rock. She's in the middle of the Bahamas. She's smiling. That must mean Sheila's having the best life.
Shmila. Shmila's absolutely smashing it.
Yeah.
All my jobs I've ever had, I wasn't hopeless. I was so bad at saying, because I was a freelancer there, I was like, oh, I'm just there until they work out. I don't do anything and then they'll kick me out.
Yeah. And it's not true. They hired you to help. They kept hiring you because they liked you.
And when I worked at, when I had my very first job, honestly, anyone who even approached my desk, I would just throw my hands in the air and say, I'm hopeless. Immediately, because I was so terrified of them bitching about me and being like, and saying that girl is hopeless, that I just told everyone I was hopeless.
Yeah.
Which is such a weird piece of logic, because then everyone has that same piece of information. I think I didn't want people to be like,
she doesn't realize
she's rubbish. So I just went on shouting that I was rubbish. We constantly say like, oh,
yeah.
I'm sorry, I don't know if you can see that face, but hopefully the noise was really indicative of what that face was. I'm doing a shrug and it means like, well, I don't know.
Yeah, ask someone else.
Ask someone else. We're like, you do know.
Yeah.
Stop that.
Guys, you do know. Stop that. I also spoke to Sharu about ways you can overcome imposter syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much everyone has had this.
Definitely start to become more mindful and aware of the messages you're giving yourself about who you are and what you're capable of. Often we speak to ourselves way more harshly than we would to a friend. Plus, we tend to focus on criticisms as opposed to compliments. we tend to focus on deficits as opposed to strengths. Learning to be your own best friend and be as kind and supportive to yourself in terms of your inner dialogue as you would be to someone you love, respect and admire is a really big part of challenging imposter syndrome. Also, it can be really useful to make a habit of noting down your positive qualities. How do you demonstrate in all aspects of your life that you're doing well? Also, I also make a habit of noting down your achievements and celebrating them. It's important to let your accomplishments feed your self-esteem and self-worth. Why else would we work so hard if not to become better at something and reap the benefits, both internal and external, of feeling calm and accomplished and capable?
Okay. I think that is such an important one. We talk to ourselves so meanly, and we would never, ever speak to anybody else like that, not even our worst enemy, let alone our best friend. And guys, we should all be our own best friend.
Yeah.
We are so cruel about people, particularly girls, I think, who are confident and say like, oh yeah, I'm the bee's knees.
Yeah, you know? We just like, call them arrogant or Beyonce and she's fine.
Arrogant, bossy, Beyonce. Like the word bossy, like that is not a male word.
No. I wouldn't call a boss. Guy, yeah, or a man.
Or a man, you know?
Telling me that I should do something.
A man telling you what to do is just a man.
Okay.
Whereas a woman telling you what something to do is like, is a bossy bitch.
Yeah.
You know? That's so unfair.
Also, Tessa, you had a nice thing ages ago where we were talking about like what our brains were sort of saying to us, and Tessa described hers as a cheerleader. It's like, come on, you can do it! Which would sometimes lead her to do things that maybe she wasn't fully equipped for, but she'd definitely have a bash. And then
I
asked what she thought my brain was doing. It's like, you're nothing! I was like, no, that is what my brain does. And I've since then tried really hard to catch myself when I'm going, you absolute waste of space.
Yeah.
And started to be like, you're not a waste of space, champ.
Bit annoying. Yeah, bit. But that's okay.
That's
you're working
okay.
Your way up.
Yeah. I'm working my way down an octave each year. So eventually he'll just be like, you're doing really well. But at the moment it's like, yeah, doing really well.
It's okay. We're all getting there slowly.
Yeah.
Basically, try and get a nicer brain.
Just get a nicer brain. But it takes, what I meant to say was it takes a long time to almost rebrand your brain, like
yes,
rewire.
Absolutely. 100%.
Because you will always go, so that's just like how people get addicted to stuff. They've got to rewire how they think,
mm-hmm.
their coping mechanisms. That's why, we're, you know, it's a very delicate instrument, the old brain. I also like the idea of writing down all your positive qualities.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bit of a difficult thing to do sincerely without being like, my God, I'm pretty lame. and then your voice is, you have to be like, no, you're not lame.
Yeah, right.
But it's lame. Very difficult to be like, oh, tonight, what are you up to? Do you want to come for a drink? Sorry, no, I'm writing down all my positive qualities.
It doesn't have to take all evening.
No, but you might want to like devote some time to it. You know, like, should I have lunch or should I write down all my positive qualities?
No, again.
But what I've found, no, because I've got a solution to it, is I've moved from a diary on my phone. Now I've got a written diary. And whenever I'm like on the train or commuting or like I'm bored and I don't want to just be flicking through my phone because I'm addicted to my phone, but that's again another podcast, I will write down like fun stuff I've done in the week and like things I really enjoyed or like fun things that I've done myself, which means that I actually do, when I'm like flicking through, I feel better about my week when I'm having a bad week, because I'm like, oh, but look, on Wednesday, I smashed that meeting, or like I came up with that funny idea and they really liked it. And obviously it does mean that if anyone finds my diary, I will have to commit suicide, because
yes.
It's so just lame.
Harakiri straight.
Harrowing.
Straight onto your
but
sword.
But that's like a nice way of kind of integrating it, and it's for no one else but yourself. And then maybe on New Year's Eve, I'll just spend New Year's Eve reading through my diary and congratulating myself.
What a time you'll have.
Yeah.
So if writing them somewhere physical feels a bit overwhelming, do it when you're by yourself and maybe write them down and, you know, burn them or like get rid of them. If the thought of like genuinely writing like, these are my favorite things about myself is genuine too much, which it is. That's an
it
overwhelming thing to do. But then also have a think about why that is the worst crime we can think of.
Yeah.
Somebody sat at home.
Just saying some nice things about
just
themselves.
Writing them like, I think I've got quite nice hair, you know?
It's tricky though, because quite often when I've been quite down and I've been like, No, there are nice things. When you're down, you can't think of any nice things because you're in that like non-perspective hole. So that's why maybe doing it about small things over a period of time can sometimes help, because when you're in it, you'll be like, there's nothing, and you can't bring yourself out of it. But it's something to maybe do when you're in a good mood, because then you'll be more likely to find stuff.
And I thoroughly recommend a gratitude list as well.
What's that?
Of an evening. It's like, if you're writing a diary anyway, just do your gratitude list at
things
the end.
Things you're thankful for.
Things you're thankful for. And they can be the same thing. If the same thing comes up every time, then that's okay. And it can be things like the sun or a nice housemate or, you know.
A nice conversation I had with a nice man on a bus the other day.
Exactly. They can be anything. They can be tiny and they can be buttons, you know. They can be anything.
Thankful for buttons.
Just anything that you're like.
What a life you're living. Sorry, that's not fair.
No, I am thankful for buttons. They're always on my list.
Just oh, like, Tessa.
Aren't buttons lovely?
Yeah, you know? No.
Hey, do not judge another woman's button list. I meant gratitude list.
My mum used to have a huge, I think she still does, she has a big, huge tin of odd buttons that she's collected over the years. And we used to like stick our hands in them and you just feel really like, yeah.
See, you love buttons.
I love buttons.
Thank you for coming around to it. See, it's a place of shame and no one wants to admit it. Write down your gratitude list. Write down your positive qualities. Do it as an experiment, because I bet you have never done it. Just written down 10 things about yourself
I've
that are good.
Yeah, I've never done it.
And do not censor yourself. Don't be like, if you did it in public, if we had to do it right now, oh my,
let's,
I can't
do it.
Go on then. Oh God, I can't do it.
But you have to do one.
Just one.
You go first.
No, whoa!
Oh, okay. No, because I'm not always good at that. Okay. When I'm in the right mood, I think I'm a good listener.
Are they qualities?
Oh
of...
my God, don't do that to me. I've just said it. And now it's going to be like, oh, now is that the right one?
No, I was going to say, do I have to do first?
I'm not a good listener. I'm sweating so much that my glasses are falling down my nose. I'm going to take them off.
Is it like a physical attribute?
Can you imagine if I'd been like, I think I'm insanely hot.
I actually do think I'm insanely hot.
I know that was going to be yours.
I think I look like a mermaid.
Okay. We are keeping that.
I think I look like an absolutely beautiful mermaid.
Mine was, I'm a good listener. Tessa thinks she was like an absolutely beautiful mermaid.
And I don't care who knows it.
And I can now understand why she feels slightly uncomfortable writing a top 10. No. Can you imagine what's at number 9? we started at mermaid. Where do we go?
Okay, let me think of an actual...
Do that you think you look like a beautiful mermaid?
No.
Okay. So you look, defense mechanisms.
All right, I think I look like a mermaid.
Do you actually?
Of course not.
This is so uncomfortable,
but
real.
It's so uncomfortable, isn't it?
Just say it. I said I was a good listener.
I cannot publicly on the radio admit that I think I look like a mermaid.
You just did.
Yeah, I'm dripping in sweat.
She does look like a mermaid.
But this
She's got mermaid hair and a fish body.
Oh, I can't believe we've got ourselves into this hole.
No, I know. It's okay, I'll edit it later.
No,
I'm not
you
going
won't.
To edit this.
I know
I'm
not, you're
going
not going to.
To. If anything, actually, no, I'm only going to keep in the bit where you say that you're a mermaid. And it's going to be apropos of nothing.
Unexplained. Okay, I do not think it is helpful for people to not say if they think they're beautiful. I'm quite quick.
Right, no, sorry. You can't have that. No,
I am quite quick.
Yeah, you are quite quick, but I'm going to try and bring it back to imposter syndrome that we're
proud
of.
This is another helpful thing. After you've written your list, no, it's getting relevant. Wait for it. A to-done list.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, baby. She was rolling her eyes at me because I was wavering off the chosen path. But I'm back in to say to-done list.
To-done list, that's great.
Rather than a to-do list.
Name what? Something on your to-done list, Tessa, that you're proud of.
I renew my passport this week.
Right. This is a staggering feat. Right.
For a second, it's been on my to-do list for 6 months.
My thing that I'm proud of is... Oh, see, this is what happens when you try and think of something you're proud of. You can't. And then you're like, oh, no.
Yeah, and you crumble. I'm literally watching Stevie physically melt.
Like, you're like those little goo people in the Little Mermaid.
That's
the little goo people in, what's her name, Ursula's cave, where they're like...
Basically, guys, you need to get to the stage where you are Marion, that little toddler who walks in on her dad's BBC interview.
Yeah, definitely.
Just stride into every room with that level of confidence, please.
Yes. Yes, please.
I'm here and I'm absolutely deserving of this, you know?
You
never
are.
Let that go.
Okay, Tessa, that brings us to this week's money hack, which is...
Money hack.
Thank you. Which is brought to us, you and everyone, by our splendid sponsor, the FSCS, the people who protect your money in your banks and building societies for free. So this hack is about breakups, but it's not the kind of breakup that you're thinking, Tessa.
Oh my God.
Is it time to break up with your bank?
Is it?
Are you asking me? Well, probably. Because a lot of people have been with the same bank for a long time. And if the bank is doing...
Since university.
Or in my case, since I was like 8 and NatWest came to my primary school and were like, let's set up a bank account. And it was just lay dormant for years and I've kept it.
Oh, I was making an analogy like a relationship with a boy. But what you've done is made like a sort of child bride thing.
I see what I've done there.
They came to your school and made you join the bank. Okay,
that's
sure.
And that's like my bank and also my current boyfriend. Hello, if you're listening, I want to leave you. No, so you need to look at your bank because banks love new customers. They'll often give new customers loads of perks, loads of stuff, and a lot of people stick with their bank despite the fact that there are better things. Like a toxic relationship. Like, for example, my friend who's with one bank.
A bank or a boy?
It's a bank. This is a bank. Okay. All of this now is a bank. Nothing to do with a boy.
Okay.
My friend is with one bank and her overdraft charges are ridiculous. And in my bank, I can just go in and be like, hey, can I have a bigger overdraft? And he's like, absolutely. And there's nothing to do with how good I am with money because I'm not. They're just really, really flexible with overdraft. She's now signed up to my bank and she's got more perks than I have because
they love fresh blood.
Website gocompare.com has an online current account finder, which is basically, it just analyzes loads and loads of statements, which are downloaded securely to the site. And then it presents a table showing in pounds and pence which accounts would be better suited to you. So it basically uses real people's account details that they've said, yes, you can use mine as part of this thing. Mm-hmm. They're not going to steal your money. And it will give you a really good overview of what that bank does that your bank doesn't and all this sort of stuff. So banks are like, you just sort of stay with them forever and you're like, hey, yeah. I'm a NatWest lady. And actually, you might not be. Maybe you might be a Halifax man.
Yes. And also there are so many like joining offers.
Yeah, you get a free carriage clock.
For example, or money, much more help.
Or money.
£100 for you, £100 for a friend. If your friend signs up, they're all
carriage clock for you, Nan.
Carriage clock for you and all. Yes, sometimes also within your bank, there will be a better account to be on. They'll be called like Flex Direct, Flex Account.
Flex Time.
And you'll be like, maybe you can actually just upgrade your money to a different account.
That's lovely. That's excellent. Thank you very much, Tessa, for adding to my hack.
You are so welcome, but definitely do it.
Definitely do it. And also get out of that bad relationship with your boyfriend.
For God's sake, leave him.
anyway, that hack was brought to you by FSCS, the people who protect your money for free from £1 to £85,000 in UK banks and building societies. So go to their website for more money tips like that and check your money is protected. Search FSCS Protected. Which reminds me of imposter syndrome, which is what we're talking about today. And we're going to go to Sharu, who is our resident expert on imposter syndrome, about another thing you can do if you're feeling like you're going to get found out.
You can also think about a person who you think really has it sorted. What qualities do they have? Often it isn't until we ask this that we realize we have the same ones.
I mean, I think a positive comparison to someone else is often really good. Also, a negative comparison is sometimes, I think in that Fear podcast we did listen to it, it's staggeringly good. We said about how sometimes you can feel like if someone says something that you want to do and you go like, oh, I feel bad, that means you should do it. So yes. Sometimes it's not a negative thing to compare yourself, especially in this case where it's like, well, that person has it sorted. But hang on, you know, I share some of those qualities.
Yes, you're saying in a negative sense, like if you have a real boss lady who knows her stuff and you're like, oh, I don't have that.
I'll never be as good as her.
But you're like, yes, I can. And you're like, okay,
yeah.
She dresses great. She always does this in the room. She says everyone's first name. She puts her hands on the table in meetings. You're like, okay, little tiny things that make him be like, yes.
Yeah, that you can positively emulate.
You positively emulate. Lovely use of words.
Thank you.
You're very good at words.
So are you. I did that for a long time with my friend who is Matthew Johnson, if you're listening. He's not. He's excellent in social situations and I used to feel really nervous at parties and I'd be very, very quiet and everyone would be like, well, she's an absolute nightmare. And
I don't think they thought you were a nightmare. Just
sometimes
like, absolute waste of space.
Yes, maybe they thought I was
That's
a waste
what I was doing
space.
And booing you in the corner. I was starting the rumour. Yeah. Like, who's that?
Thanks, Tessa. She's a nightmare. I just watched like how he opened sentences with people and he did things like he would touch them on the arm, he would like make them feel, he'd ask lots of questions, and that's actually something that can be translated directly into work situations. But imposter syndrome isn't always to do with work stuff. It's very much social situations as well. You can be like, oh, well, you know, I'm chatting to them now, but in a minute I'll run out of things to say and they'll realise I'm the most boring person ever.
Yes.
When actually, all you have to do is keep asking questions and everyone feels like that. If anything,
everyone's
the person you're talking to is like, I hope she doesn't stop asking me questions.
Exactly. It's just two people with their brains going like, I'm not good enough. Yeah. Both of them thinking, I'm not good enough and that person's great. And both people's brains are thinking exactly the same thing.
Do you ever have that thing when you're at a party and you get into like, suddenly you get into this really great conversation with someone?
Yes.
And it's been going for a while, but in your head you're like, yeah, this is a good one, isn't it? We're both doing really well. They're like, no, shush, I've got to concentrate on the conversation. But sometimes it can get both of you know that you're having a good one, and that's nice, but that can happen, both of you know you're having a bad one as well, and that can be really knock your confidence.
I think that's called flow, when the energy is just really right in doing something. And it's a sporting thing, and also in conversation happens all the time.
And feng shui,
when you just like feel the energy shift and you're like, yes, this is...
We are locked on.
This is happening. Can I tell you my positive emulation thing?
Yes, please.
It's from the film Avatar.
Okay.
And so the... Jake,
are you now fully 3D?
Yeah, I decided to be a blue Navi. And that's really helped me in the work-life balance.
Right.
So the marine guy that they've got up there... So Jake Sully goes up and he... lives in the big blue, his avatar.
Yes.
So he goes to basically a party with some aliens.
Right.
That's the epitome of, I can't be here.
Yes.
I'm literally an imposter.
Yes.
And everyone is fully eviling him. I mean, he looks like them because he's blue, but we all know he's a marine. And he sits down and even though like furious with him, he says, hey, how's it going? To the two aliens on either side. And I was like, right on. If he can do that on another planet,
yes.
I can go to parties and start the conversation and and say, hey, how's it going to people?
Yeah.
So that therefore they're on the back foot and they have to answer rather than just being like, I'll stand here silently until someone
asks me a question.
I'll just start those conversations. I'll just come in, yes. Touch people on the arm. Hey, how's it going?
No, sure. No, I think that's true. It's about going in and faking confidence.
Exactly.
Immediately. And that will dissipate the feeling that you're not supposed to be there, because you'll look around and see that everyone else is faking confidence. And the moment you realise that it's not you're the only one faking confidence and everyone else is confident, it's just everyone else is doing what you're doing now.
Exactly. And the whole thing about being a grown-up is just pretending you know what you're doing, because absolutely no one does.
No one does. I was going to an event the other week and I asked, I would say, no, it was four separate people where the door was that I needed to go through, and every single person went, yeah, it's just down there and to the left. And I'd be like, well, it's not. And I'd be like, it's just up there, upstairs. You'd be like, what? Until the end, you're like, actually, just turn around, go out, and then go in again. I was like, no! Like, they were all so confident about, like, but they had no idea what they were talking about, but they had such confidence, and that's how I want to live my life, which is being like, yeah, it's over there. I'm not certain, but, you know, absolutely sure. What?
I'd like to talk about men.
Oh, okay.
I'd like to know...
It's got to that sort of podcast, has it?
Yes, please.
Okay.
I'd like to know if men...
They were all men who did that. Yeah. Yes, they were.
Yeah, and I'd like
And actually, the only person that told me where the door was a woman who consulted a map.
This is a really interesting fact, that is a fact, that when looking at job applications with a list of attributes that or skills that you need to do the job, a man will do it, will apply for the job if he just has 60% of the skills, and a woman will wait until she has 100%.
Yeah, which I think is interesting. Finally, one of the things that Sharo did mention when I was talking to her, which I've started doing, is to look at what you would have thought of your life now when you were young. So I'm always like, oh, I can't be bothered doing this. I'm like, little Stevie would be so psyched to be doing this, because then it can show how much you've achieved without realising it. Because I think we can all do with taking stock of how we're doing a lot, because you're constantly looking forward. You're constantly thinking you're not good enough because you're looking at the person who's one step ahead of you going, well, I'd like to be where that person is. And whenever you get to that step, that person's got another step. So you're just constantly, mm-hmm. not chasing one person, but you're constantly chasing whether that's an ideal, whether that's a person. And I think that's quite important to take stock and look at what you're doing. And
yeah, and
the
things that you achieved and how much those would have meant to you even only a few years ago.
Look, small Tessa and small Stevie would be so chuffed that we're doing a podcast.
Oh, I'm chuffed now.
I mean, I'm chuffed now, yeah. No, that isn't something that I'm bored of. But as an example, if you're listening, there must be something that you think about, no matter how old you are. Obviously, if you're like 18 when you were 8, you might not have had the same ideals as you do now. But 8-year-old you would be so proud of, literally insert anything that you've done today that isn't, I don't know, what do 8-year-olds do? Go on a swing. Be proud of that as well.
Yes. If you've been on a swing today.
If the best thing you've ever done in your whole life is go on a swing, I'm sure you could think of something else.
Yeah, try harder.
Try harder.
Try harder to think of something. And if you really can't, try harder in your life.
Yeah, maybe
do
something else.
Do something else. I guarantee if you really like take a moment to sit, and it's so unhelpful, because I think we put mindfulness in this basket with, oh, self-care and self-help crystals. And crystals. There's this yoga video that we watched once on YouTube. Mm. And she goes, well done you for getting on the mat. It's okay if all you did today was breathe.
No, that's like, not okay.
Wow.
No.
But sometimes you are in a place where it feels like that is enough that you did that today, like you're having just a terrible time.
Yes.
You know? But also we don't respond to those women very well. We're like, you are crackers.
Yes.
And we put everything in that basket of like, oh, I don't need that.
All that whimsical stuff.
Whimsical stuff. But actually that is so important. And so today, take a moment to like just be by yourself and do some whimsy and write down your things that you're good at and the things that you're grateful for.
And emulate that person that you see and you go, God, they've got it sorted. Well, you can if you just act like them.
And really take stock of yourself to like see if you dismiss compliments or if you, when someone says, that's nice, you go, oh, I got it in the sale.
Yes.
You know, like someone is saying you had a nice thing. Just take that and say, thank you. I like your dress.
Oh, do you? I'm not wearing a dress.
No, I'm wearing an enormous cardigan.
Yeah, which I love.
I'm not saying you don't love it.
Oh, burn.
Psych.
What was the other thing? Oh, yeah. The other thing was as well to have kind thoughts, to at least analyze the thoughts that you're having. Be constantly aware when you're going, stupid Stevie, insert your own name. That would be weird if it's that and you're called Frank. And stop yourself. Kind of go, no, I'm going to give myself a break because I'm doing okay.
Treat
yourself like your best friend.
And be your best friend. Don't be scared to tell people you're your own best friend.
Yeah.
You should be.
If you think you're a beautiful mermaid, say it on a podcast.
And just say, I'm actually my own best friend.
This has lost her mind.
I'm not. I just think that would be outrageous.
Yeah, if you were like, I'm my own best friend.
If you said that in sincerity. Yeah. But it is okay if that's true for you.
Keep
it quiet and do try and find another friend, at least one. But yeah, look after yourself because you have to be in there. Like,
yeah, you
have
can't
to,
run away from yourself.
You have to live that.
If you're bored, you can't be like, I think I'll just spend a night by myself today because you're yourself. Can you imagine if you could? If you'd be like, I'm just going to
take
a quick
break.
Go in here.
There are times when I would have paid anything to have a break from myself.
I do that.
But there are times, if I could literally like take my brain out.
No,
like,
as in like, yeah, there are times that I feel
but
like
times
now,
when I'd be like, when I'm like, I'm an absolute mermaid, you know?
Yeah. I'd like to get actually deeper inside myself. If you have any thoughts, any tips about imposter syndrome.
You'll never guess what we've got, guys.
Twitter.
And?
An email address.
We've got a new email. We're so excited.
So our email address.
We're like 12-year-olds with MSM. Please message us.
Yeah. At sexybabes. No, it's actually.
Was that your name of your MSN account?
No, mine was purplefairy12. And then at one point it was like, the moth to the flame.
Of course it was.
When I was having my down period, age 13 to 14.
I didn't have one.
Oh.
We didn't have. We
of course
didn't have.
You didn't. You were too busy like taking newts out of ponds.
That is true.
It's true, isn't it?
Yeah. We didn't have strong enough dial-up connection.
Oh, amazing. Yes, we have an email address. So email us, podcast@thedebrief.co.uk. If you've got any thoughts about what you'd like to hear us discuss and solve, any thoughts for future podcast episodes, and you can also tweet us individually, @StevieM. The S is a 5. It always will be.
And @TessaCoates. No numbers replacing letters.
Yep. Or @TheDebrief. Thank you so much for listening. Have the absolute greatest day. And
remember that you are a mega babe.
Yeah, you're not an imposter.
You are.
If you're on the earth.
So deserving.
You're not an imposter.
You are so deserving of whatever job that you do, whatever thing that you think you aren't deserving of, you are. You kick it, girl.